Over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at Gideon in the book of Judges. It's a time where people are living in fear. They're living not sure what is going to happen from day to day. They have a lot of questions, and now they've been praying. They've been praying that perhaps God would do something, that he would intervene. Perhaps some people are even realizing that it's because of their sin that they've wandered away, and now they are in a lot of trouble. I would imagine maybe one of the people that were praying was Gideon. You could think of someone that would be praying that, Lord, would you get us out of this situation? Lord, could you turn some things around? Could you at least bring some ease? Could you bring some peace into our lives? And when God shows up to Gideon and calls him to be the leader, he doesn't really want to do it. Maybe we feel that way sometimes, that we really hope things would change. We hope things would get better. We're looking forward to a better future. And when God calls us, we had wished that he would go somewhere else, call someone else to lead. I don't want this job, this position. It's too great. It's too hard. It's too much for me to handle. So the people of Israel were in a difficult situation because of choices that they had made. They really had no leadership in the nation. They had very little leadership even in their homes. And so because of that, they had wandered away from God. And yet God had not given up on them, even though they'd given up on God. There was still hope, and there was still a plan, and God was going to provide that for the people. So we're talking about desperate times, which require now desperate measures. And so God comes and calls Gideon, and he says, you're going to be the man who's going to be leading the people. Midian was a great nation. They had 135,000 soldiers. They used to come in every year, just during the harvest season, to take all of the food. And while they were there, since there were so many, probably in addition to the army, some of the just the common folk, the people of the land, they'd be coming as well. It said that there was camels so numerous, it was just unbelievable. They just filled the whole land. What they couldn't eat, they probably took with them. What they couldn't take, they trampled on, not necessarily to be mean and vindictive. It's just you have that many people walking over your fields, everything is dead. And so now they're looking for something else, something different. And so God is allowing this to happen to them simply because the people chose to worship the idols and the Baals. And now God is calling Gideon up to lead the people. We've already been through a lot of the things that God has called Gideon to do. And Gideon has a lot of reservations. He has a lot of questions to God and about their situation. And really the question more than anything was, are you really going to be with us? I hear what you're saying. I've heard your word. Today we may even be able to say for ourselves, we've read your word. You've spoken clearly. I'm just not sure if I'm ready to move ahead. I'm not sure if I want to do this. This is going to be a big risk. This is going to be something that I'm not sure of the outcome, but Lord, are you really going to be with us? And so this is where we are today, just wondering how this is all going to work out. So we kind of ended really on this note after Gideon asked the questions. He wanted the proof. He wanted more evidence. And God blessed Gideon with what he needed. The Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon. He blew the trumpet, summoning the Abizarites to follow him. These were his people. So he's saying, let's gather together. We are ready. I've heard from God. I've seen the evidence. We're ready to move forward. We are going to go against this great nation. But yet we find even from last week, he wasn't yet quite finished. He still had some doubt. And the Lord even said to him, if you still doubt, you can go down to the camp. And you can overhear a conversation that's going on between two of the men. And you can hear what's happening. And you can even get a word from the Lord, even from the enemy. So as they all gather together, as these, they actually had four of the tribes that met together. You kind of wonder why they didn't call everybody, but they assembled together. And so there was a pretty good group of people that showed up. And so, again, we find here in Judges chapter 7 and verse 1 from the Bible reading. Early in the morning when Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, you remember his name was changed to say, let Baal contend for himself. Let Baal fight this battle. If Baal is really that strong, if he's really a god, we don't need to stand up for him. He can stand up for himself. And if he can't stand, then he's going to have to fall. And that's what Gideon's father had said to the people that wanted to kill Gideon because he had torn down these idols that were in his father's house. But now all the men camped at the spring of Harod. And now they're all together. They're getting ready to go out. You kind of wonder, what is this spring of Harod? Just kind of as a side note, a lot of the Jewish people believe that Gideon was one of the greatest of the judges. If you read through the book of Judges, you find out that there are more verses dedicated to the story of Gideon than any of the other judges, even that of Samson. So yes, he was kind of prominent. He was somebody that would stand out as you're reading through the book. And they view him as one of the great judges. And you'd have to say, well, why? Because he really struggled a lot. And maybe that's why they liked him. And I don't know, maybe that's why we like him. I mean, there's a great victory in the end, but he had so many struggles to get there. And maybe that's, as we read through this, that's just like me. I mean, I hear what God says. I kind of believe he can do it. Yet I still have a lot of reservations. I'm still not sure I want to jump in. I'm not sure if I'm totally committed because I don't know. I don't know the future. But God does. But I'm just not sure if I'm willing to put my life in his hands that fully. I'm willing to surrender some. I'm willing to give over some. But to give over all, where it's a life or death situation, maybe we feel the challenge. And maybe that's why this story, maybe even subconsciously more, people say, I love Gideon. Well, why do you like it so much? I mean, he seemed to be more reluctant than any of the other judges. Actually, he seems more reluctant than any other of the leaders in the Old Testament, even that of Moses. Moses didn't really want to do it. Neither did Gideon. And yet he was willing to go through. But the fact is, with this verse, it says, all the men were camped at the spring of Harod. Now, what is a spring? A spring is where the water comes from. Maybe your translation even says the well. I mean, that is the source of life. That's the thing you're taking in every day. That's the thing that is making you survive. But the problem is, this name Harod in Hebrew is Hara, which means fear and trembling. They are gathered together at a spring or at a well where they're receiving. This is what they're taking in. This is what they're living on. Fear and trembling. It's just saying they are still very fearful of what's about to happen. All the people are here. The soldiers are here. What is going to happen? Can we really trust God? That's the big question for us today. Can we really trust God? Verse 2. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands, in order that Israel may not boast against me and that her own strength has saved her. All right, so what we find out here that Midian has 135,000 trained, equipped, ready to go soldiers. They have been fighting battle after battle. They are very well prepared to fight. Perhaps we'd even say they're eager to fight. This is what they enjoy doing. And yet Gideon only has 32,000. And what does God say? That's too many. And I'm thinking, I know what's going in Gideon's mind. Lord, I'm not sure you quite understand how battles are fought. You can never have too many soldiers. I mean, we want to win. I don't think we have too many. Actually, what we don't have enough. But God says you have too many. I mean, Gideon was thinking, I've only called four of the tribes. I was actually thinking about sending out another text to some of the other tribes. Come and join us. Maybe we can get up to 60,000. I mean, that would be good. At least it's a 2-to-1 odd. But this is just too many. And why is it too many? Because even with this percentage, God is saying, I don't want Israel to say, you know, we were really good. I mean, we are warriors. I mean, you should have seen the way I swung the sword. You should have seen how strong I was. I mean, I was, and you know, I had the moves too. I mean, you would have thought I was on the dance floor. I mean, I was just really good at doing this battle. And we won it because I was strong. We won it because I was smart. We won it because I was very eager and I was very strong in my thought, in my action, in my body. I was committed. We won because of me. God says, I don't want that to happen. And we wonder sometimes in our life where we almost get to that hopeless situation and we say, God, this can only happen if you intervene. It can only happen if you're going to step up. Because there's nothing I can do. I'm at the end. I have no strength left. I don't have any answers. I can't figure this out. God, I'm going to turn it over to you. So at the end, we can tell people, this is what happened. And we can say, it's only God. You know, even, I just kind of get the sense, sometimes we just like saying, well, you know, I think it was about 60% God and about 40% me. Or like now, if you're really humble, well, it's around 85-15, you know, which I did a little bit, but you know, God did most of it. God's saying, there's going to be none of that. I want you to say, this is all God. It's got nothing to do with me. I just said, Lord, I surrender. I'm giving this over to you. Lord, you're going to have to work. It's all of him and none of me. And so they decide, well, we're going to have to sift through some people. We're going to have to take some people away. And so this is what God said to Gideon. Announce to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. And so Gideon's thinking, okay, maybe there's 5,000 or 6,000 that are a little wimpy today. They got up on the wrong side of bed. You know, they're not really that equipped. We're going to lose a few people. And I can afford to lose a few people that are afraid. But 22,000 left. I mean, more left than stayed. Like he lost 2/3 of what he had. And he's left with 1/3. The odds are not going very well. You could say this is an impossible situation. We are not even that trained. We don't even have that many weapons. 13-1. That means us, very few weapons, very little skill, are going to go against this army. And we're going to have to kill 13 men to our one man. And every time one of our men dies, that means the rest have to pick up the slack and kill even more. So you can imagine in a battle, it'd be like saying, guys, each one of you is going to have to kill 30 or 40 guys as some of us are dropping fairly quickly. Because you know when there's an army, there's always casualties. Someone's going to die. And so here's the thing. If you want to go out and fight this on your own, you're going to have casualties. You're going to have some people that are hurt. You're going to have some people that are injured. You're going to have some people that are maimed. You're going to have some people that are dead. This is the way war is fought. But you know what God says? Well, it's kind of interesting. If you've read ahead, you kind of know what's going to happen. The Lord said to Gideon, there's still too many. And Gideon, between the lines, doesn't say it here. He says, no way. What do you mean, too many? God says, take them down to the water. I will sift them there. And so what happens? They go down to the water. He tells everybody to drink. Some people must get down on their hands and knees and they kind of, I don't know if they had a straw or something like that, but they just put their face right down and they kind of brought the, you know, sucked up the water and that kind of thing. Some other people kind of crouched down and used their hands, lapped up the water. It says like a dog. So just kind of your, And people have all kinds of things about why. Well, those people must have been really alert. You know, they were really conscientious. You know, they were getting ready to fight and they had their eyes on Gideon. And that's, we call that a lot of baloney. That's not what was going on. God was just saying, I want to sift the people out, not so we can get the best. Why? Because the best would say, yeah, we did it because we're the best. No, that's not the way it works. God didn't want the best. He just wanted something small. Like real small. And so basically they ended up separating. And what happens is there were only 300 people who brought the water up that way. And so it's like, wow, that's good. Because there's only 300 people going home. And there's 9,700 still with me going into battle. And that's the good news, isn't it? But that's not the way it worked out. The Lord said to Gideon, it's with the 300 who lapped. And Gideon's like, no, let's do it again. Could we do another test? Like 300 is not many, but with 300. God says, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other people go to his own place. with 300 people. Now, if you're at Gideon at this point, now, if I was Gideon at this point, I would say, God, could you just like do this one more time? Could you say, whoever is fearful now may go home? Because I'm leaving. I'm going. There's no way. Are you kidding me? With 300 people, the odds look terrible. 450 people to one in battle. And it gets even crazier when you think about it. Because he doesn't say, well, get all the swords together and get the arrows and the spears and get your shields. And a few tanks would come in handy now. Well, he doesn't have any of that. How in the world are they going to win this battle? You know they're not going to do it on their own. You know something is going to happen that we could say it's only God. He is the one who's going to work. We find out that Gideon overheard the dream of the two Midianites. And at the end of the dream, he got the confirmation he needed that it was the Lord. And so he goes back to the camp, and this is what he says to the 300 he has left. Get up, the Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. Now it's kind of interesting, because when we read this, we think, hold on, Gideon, you had your tents wrong. Not your tent, but your tents. Because it really, he should be saying, the Lord is going to give. What do you? This is saying the Lord is already. This is saying God has already won the battle. Oh, but God, the battle's not been fought yet. God says, for me, it's already been fought. It's a done deal. You're not going to win. You've already won. Well, how you... You know, in the New Testament, that's the way it even describes our salvation. That we are saved. We have been. We are not being saved. It's not we will be saved. We are saved in Christ Jesus. It's as good as done. Because Jesus has already purchased our salvation. Jesus has already provided the way. And while we continue to live in Him, we are saved. It's not we will be saved. Even though we still have some life left to live here in this world. It's a done deal. God has already made this. So Hebrews. We get Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Sorry, that's verse 6. For whoever comes to God must believe that He is and rewards those who seek Him. But verse 1 says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and being certain of what we do not see. That's what faith is. And Gideon is mentioned as a man of faith in verse 32. But as I read through the whole account, to me, Gideon is growing in faith. He has faith. Who has the faith in God here in this verse? It's 300 men. 300 men have faith in God. Why? Because they never got to ask God questions. They weren't there when Gideon put out the fleece. They didn't go down to the camp to hear two Midianite people talk about a dream. They went on the faith of Midian, of Gideon. Gideon is the one who led them. They are the ones who said, we will follow. We trust. We see that God will work. And so God was willing to work through them and to bless them. Here are some verses in other contexts, but very similar battles. Okay, so in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat, again, he was a king and he was leading the people. And I mean, this is just a great prayer that he has to the Lord. Because they were being surrounded by the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Meunites. And they were all getting together, ready to attack and ready to fight the people of God. And Jehoshaphat, he says this, for we have not power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Now, if you're into marking your Bible, you got to mark this one. If you're into memorizing verses, you got to memorize this one, because he's saying there's times in my life where I say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what the future is. I mean, sometimes we're struggling. We struggle with our health, or we struggle with our finances, or we struggle in our families, or we struggle financially. And sometimes we just say, Lord, I don't know what to do. But my eyes are on you. Because it's so easy to put our eyes on the enemy. I mean, Satan, he'll attack. He can be vicious. He can be deceitful. He can overwhelm us. But Lord, my eyes are not on Satan. My eyes are on you. My eyes are not on my problem. My eyes are on you. My eyes are not on my fears. My eyes are on you. My eyes are not on my questions and my doubts. My eyes are on you. Can we do that through the struggles that we have? Say, God, I feel hopeless. I feel like things, I can't see how this will ever work out. I don't know if I'll ever be happy again. I don't know if I'll ever be restored. I don't know if I'll ever be close to Jesus again like I once was. But Lord, my eyes are on you. There's got to be something better. And so following up with that, this is what the priest says, Jehazel. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but it's God's. And that's certainly what Gideon had realized. This battle is not ours. It's not mine. It's not what I can do. This battle belongs to the Lord. I will trust in him. I will move forward. I will have victory. Because God has promised, because God has spoken, because God is leading, because God is the one who's going to fight. I don't need to be involved. I just need to surrender. I need to give it to God. I need to trust in him. Well, another one, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 17. You will not have to fight the battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm. Well, that's what we have to do now. Got to take up your... It's not just like, I'm going back to bed. Nope. Take up your position, stand firm, and see. Just watch. I mean, enjoy the show. The deliverance the Lord will give you. Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Well, it wasn't until just a few chapters later they had a similar situation with a different king, King Hezekiah. And we talked a little bit about this last Sunday evening, Hezekiah and some of the things that he went through as he led the people. He was the king, and the people were being surrounded by the Assyrian army. And it looked very hopeless. But again, this is what was said. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army. Just to kind of put that in there, it's not just an army. It's a vast, it's big, it's powerful, it's bigger than you can handle. Don't be afraid of that. I mean, if you want to go out and look at it and say, wow, vast army, I'm not going to be afraid. For there's a greater power with us than with him. Now this is kind of where it gets us, doesn't it? With him is only the arm of the flesh. And we say, yeah, but it's a big arm, right? I mean, there's a lot of people. They have a lot of weapons. They're fully trained. Don't just say it. That's only the flesh. I mean, that's only numbers. Big deal. Well, yeah, it's kind of a big deal. I mean, they have much better weapons. That's not a big deal. And we're like, it's kind of a big deal. Say, come on, that's only the flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and fight our battles. I mean, this could have been said to Gideon. Yeah, you look out. Don't worry. 300 versus 135. You got it. It's taken care of. It's a done deal. There's already victory. We've already won. I mean, you can look at how big they are if you want. To God, it's not a big deal. He can take care of it. So we don't get overwhelmed in our problems, in our struggles, in our battles, in the enemy. And sometimes we say, oh, but Satan seems to be so powerful in the world today. Look at all the things happening. What about all the evil people? What about all these killings, even just recently, that have been going on? We live in such a fearful place. What could be done? Well, here's a great idea. Let's get all the politicians together, because they've done such a fine job in the past. Go ahead, do that if you want. God says, would you trust me? Would you trust me? God, I don't know where this is going to end up. God, I have fear for my own family. I have fear for our church. I have fear for what is happening in the world. What about my neighbors and my friends? Even the people that don't know Jesus. But do I say, Lord, yeah, I have fear. You know, they all had fear. I believe in Gideon's day, even if you ask these 300 men, well, do you have fear? I guess they'd almost have to be a psychopath. Just, oh, I don't fear anything. Well, of course you have fear. What do you do with your fear? Because you can let your fear control you. Your fear will control your mind, control your emotions. Your fear will control your physical health. Your fear will control your future and your decisions and your questions. And your fear will control the relationship you have with your spouse and with your children and your parents. The fear will control you, the way you produce at work and the relationships you have there. You can let fear control you if you want. But you can say, yeah, I've got fear, but I'm going to give that over to God. I'm going to let Him take care of my fear. I can be free from this. I don't need to be carrying it around all the time. It's too much of a burden to carry anyway. I'm just going to trust in God. The Lord, He will fight. The arm of the flesh can do nothing. So the people get together. Even in 1 Samuel, we were reminded of David when he went up against Goliath. And this is what David says as he's got his sling and just a few stones, and he's coming up against this huge warrior that basically has armor from head to foot. And David says, I want this to be clear. I want all of those gathered here to know that it's not by the sword or spear that the Lord saves. It's not how big I am. It's not how confident I am. It's not how equipped or how trained or how much I have or how much I do. It's not about any of this stuff. It's the Lord who saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give all of you into our hands. This was only supposed to be a fight against Goliath and one other person. Goliath kept taunting, but you bring up your best warrior, and I'll cut him down to size, and we will win just one-on-one. And David says, listen, not only am I bringing you down, I'm bringing everybody down. We're serious about this. Why? Because it's God's power. Why? So God could be praised? Why? So people wouldn't say, oh, wow, David was so good with the slingshot. Hey, listen, David had a lot of courage, no doubt. But it was God who brought the victory. That's what people needed to see. Let's honor and glorify the Lord. Let's thank Him when we have victory. So we're back into Judges. This is what Gideon does, dividing the 300 men into three companies. He placed the trumpets and empty jars in the hands of with them and the torches inside. All right, we finally down to the warriors. Lord, you brought the army way down. I got it. But usually in the past, we've been fighting with swords and spears and javelins and shields and... And you want us to carry what? Trumpet? Like, can you take someone's life with... Maybe if you hit them over the head hard enough with a trumpet? I don't know, maybe you can kill somebody with a trumpet? Jars? I don't know. They're just clay jars and they break fairly easily because that's what they did. They broke the jars when they went into the battle and they've got some torches. Well, what are we going to be doing here? Doesn't sound like much... of an attack. Doesn't seem like we're going to be fighting any battles. What are we going to be doing? Got some torches and some trumpets. But God is able to provide the victory, and he does. Divides up into three different groups. They surround the city. And this is what basically Gideon says. He says, you got to follow me. Can you trust me enough to do what I do? And to move when I say move. Break the jars when I say, blow the trumpets when I say. This is what Gideon says. Watch me. Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. He's pretty specific here. We got to do it at the right time. We got to do it in the right way. Can you follow a leader? Oh, and somehow, well, I want to do it my way. I'd like to be the one who starts the bugle. You know, I'm pretty good, right? I mean, if everybody joins in, I join in late. No one's going to really hear, you know, the way I can do, you know, the music. I can play the scale, right? No, you have to follow. You have to submit. You have to say, here is the man God has chosen to lead us into battle, and we are going to follow him. We are going to trust him. It's not a one-person show. It's not an arrogant thing. It's just following the leader. So he's saying, do exactly as I do. And certainly we need more people like that in the kingdom of God and in the church. People can say, follow me. I'm going to set an example. I'm going to show you faith. I'm going to encourage you to walk, not just by talking, but by leading and by showing, by example. Could you follow me? This is what a true leader does, is call people to follow. And this is what the people do. And it's kind of surprising the outcome. When they broke the jars, all the lights became evident. They blew on the trumpets and they said, for the Lord and for Gideon. The people inside the camp. Middle of the night. The guard was changing. Some people were still asleep. It would have been dark inside the city. They didn't have street lights and things like that. So when they woke up, there was a lot of confusion. There was a lot of things that were going on. And so this has got to be very clear in our minds what happened. Because sometimes we think it was a surprise attack. 300 men went running into the city and they were killing all kinds of people. But look what happened. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on him. It wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't the people really that were blowing the trumpets and holding up their torches and yelling. It wasn't really that. You see, it was the Lord. If he didn't intervene, maybe there wouldn't have been so much confusion. I mean, the Lord could have chosen any way he wanted. He could have told Gideon, listen, just go back to bed. You can wake up in the morning and they'll all be dead. Now, that's what happened with Assyria, didn't it? That the angel of the Lord went in and killed thousands of the Assyrians overnight. That's not the way God chose to do it here. The people were doing something. So they turn on each other. Here the Midianites were killing each other. And then they fled. And then the people of God got together and they chased them. There was a great victory that day. God blessed them. As far as we can see, do you know how many of the Israelites died in battle? I mean, it would be great today if we could say we had a battle and the number of casualties we had were zero. How many were injured? None. That's a great victory. When you can fight a battle, when the odds are against you, not even have a scratch. God provides the victory. We're going to close with Joshua. Because again, great victories in Joshua in that day. You remember Jericho. It's another great story where the people gathered. And what they did is they just marched around the Jericho. You remember once a day for 7 days. And the last day they marched around seven times. And then they yelled. And then Jericho. They had, again, victory in Jericho because they trusted in the Lord and they obeyed the Lord. But as they were going towards Jericho, it's kind of interesting when we talk about battles. This is kind of where we need to think, where am I at with this? How much trust and faith do I have in the Lord? So Joshua was approaching Jericho. He looked up, he saw men in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and he said, are you for us or for our enemies. Now, we're going to fight a battle. It's important to know whose side everybody's on. Back then, not everybody wore, you know, the right colors. You know, it's not, we're all color coordinated. And, you know, we have like the big football uniform on, so we can tell whose team. No, we didn't know. So he says, whose side are you on? It's an important question. Are you for us or are you for them? And so it's important even today for us to know, whose side are we on? Whose side are you on? Whose side are we fighting on? That's a great question. Well, the answer is equally important. Because this man said, neither, he replied, but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does the Lord have for his servant? The question is, whose side are you on? He says, I'm not anybody's side. What he is saying is, I am the side. What do you mean, whose side? I'm the commander of the Lord's army. Where I go, there is victory. I mean, there's no casualty. There's no defeat. There's no loss. I'm of the Lord. And people would even say, similar to the angel that Gideon saw, that this may even be a picture of the Lord, or even the Lord coming in a human form or in an angelic form. Because again, here Joshua falls down to worship. Whose side are you on? So the next verse says this. Neither, he replied. Sorry, didn't get to the next slide yet. Didn't push it. The commander of the Lord's army. This was the reply. This is what he said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And Joshua did so. Whose side are you on? And really for us, it's when we come to God and say, God, whose side are you on? And you know what God says? I'm not on anybody's side. I'm God. The question is, am I on God's side? It's not, is he on my side? Am I on God's side? Am I trusting in him? Am I fighting for him? Am I willing to surrender to him? Am I willing to say, fear will not dominate my life because I'm on the Lord's side? I'm going to live for him. I'm going to believe the promises he's made. I'm going to claim them as my own. I'm going to trust them that these promises will now dictate how I think and even how I feel. And what I do and what I say and how I process, it'll change my heart, it'll change my mind, it'll change my day. It changes where I work and it changes my home, and this is going to change me. Because I've said I'm on the Lord's side. Is that easy? Are we still like Gideon sometimes? I'm guessing some days we are. That we still have doubts, we still have questions, we still need confirmation. We still say, oh, I'm just not 100%, maybe I'm 98% sure. But Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Today, we want to encourage you, if you've not surrendered to Christ, today's the day to say, I give it all over. I trust you. I've heard you. I know what you want for my life. And in faith, even with the questions that I have, and even with the fear I have, I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to say, I surrender my life. Maybe today you're struggling as a Christian. If we can encourage you, if we could pray with you or be a blessing to you, if today you want to be baptized into Christ, we can assist you with that. Maybe you've got questions. We can sit with you and talk with you more. Let's stand, let's sing this song, and let us know how we can be an encouragement to you.